Praise the Lord. We're thankful once again that the family could gather together. It's always quite a reunion each year. I'm praying that this coming year our reunion will be elsewhere, hopefully in the clouds. Praise the Lord. Amen. As we come together tonight, it's our heart that as we share tonight, that we give some sense of what the Lord wants to say, some direction for the conference, something that's on the Lord's heart that will set the course and the tone for the conference. Had an interesting experience today. I was at a Wawa gas station, and it's amazing how the Lord can touch you. And as I got out of the truck to fuel it up, there was this song playing. They play music over the speakers. I guess they don't want you to pay much attention to how fast that meter's clicking and how many, about $40 worth of gas going into what used to be 20. Anyway, they're playing the music, and I get out, and it says this, sending an SOS, sending an SOS, sending an SOS. Sending, it went on for 10 times, sending an SOS. And I said, well, when are they going to tell us what this SOS is? And this is music playing. I didn't know it was such music. But anyway, I thought after 10 times, you know, finally it would at least say something about what this SOS was, which is, you know, SOS is a warning signal that goes out. And so I wanted to know. But it kept on, sending an SOS. The whole song, there was one line, sending an SOS. And I said, well, what in the world does this mean? And I got to thinking about it. I said, well, you know, if you're sending an SOS, what you're really looking for is someone to respond to that SOS. It's not that you necessarily are going to have time to tell someone what's going on. Just respond. Just come. Just respond. Something's happening. You need to respond. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, Jerry, that's what tonight is about. I'm sending an SOS. An SOS, not from man, not from me, but from God. From God's throne, an SOS. And I said, yes, Lord, indeed it is time that we receive the SOS, that we respond. And I know what the SOS message says now. And it says, the time is at hand. The time is at hand, which is the theme for our conference. In Revelation 1:1, when the Lord Jesus determined to give to us what is to wrap up this age, he gives us the book of Revelation. In the very beginning, he said that this is what God gave to show to his bondservants, for the time is at hand. Brothers and sisters, this was not a message that came from the Apostle John, but a message that came from God himself, from the Lord himself. And that message, that SOS that went out over 2,000 years ago, was the time is at hand. If 2,000 years ago the time was at hand and that message came from God himself, we must believe that the time was at hand 2,000 years ago. How much more is the time at hand today? It has to be extremely close. It's interesting, at the end of the book of Revelation, the angel speaks, and he says, and the Lord speaks to the angel, or the angel tells John from the Lord, he said, do not seal up what is in this book, for the time is at hand. And at the very last message that the Lord gives us, the very last thing that he says in this book, is, behold, I come quickly. Now, some of us may want to say, well, if it was 2,000 years ago, The Lord says, I come quickly. How could it be 2,000 years? Let me say this much to you. If the Lord said to those saints 2,000 years ago that I come quickly, He intended them for to live their life like He was coming quickly. He intended them to know that they needed to be in the spirit of rapture, that His coming soon was just around the corner, and they could not live their lives as they chose, but had to be truly His disciples in Jesus Christ. The SOS message is, the time is at hand. Brothers and sisters, a dramatic revolutionary change is about to take place on this earth. Very soon now, the Lord Jesus Christ will come back. He will reign on this earth for 1,000 years. That's not going to happen many, many years from now. Brothers and sisters, I happen to believe that if we're in the spirit of rapture, we have the sense that this could very easily happen in our lifetime before we even pass away. Even in my lifetime, it could very easily happen, the Lord. As a matter of fact, the chain of events that will trigger His return could even happen this very night, the rapture of some of His saints. Brothers and sisters, a dramatic event in the history of man will soon take place. Calvary was a great, tremendous turning point in the history of mankind, but it was for a purpose. Calvary alone does not stand by itself. It has a real purpose, and that is that God might have the kingdom that He intended to have from the very beginning for His Son to reign and rule over this creation and this man that He has made, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. The event will be very soon. How do we know that that is the event that the Lord is speaking of? Well, in Revelation 1:7, He says, Behold, I come with the clouds, and every eye shall see me. It is important, brothers and sisters, that we understand the time in which we live. If we don't understand the hour, the time in which we live, we will not be ready. We will not be prepared. And I think this is the SOS. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. Brothers and sisters, particularly you young brothers and sisters, if you're going to take a test, you can't expect not to prepare and get a good grade. If you're going on a vacation, if you don't prepare ahead of time, what will happen? Vacation will most likely be a mess. If you're going to get a new job or for a job interview, don't you prepare ahead of time? Our preparation makes all the difference in how we will respond. It makes all the difference, brothers and sisters, of being prepared for what is about to happen. So our Lord Jesus wants us to prepare. Our response to this SOS message and how we respond to it in His grace will eventually determine our place in the kingdom. This kingdom age will last for 1,000 years. If we are passive and indifferent, lethargic, not understanding the time, we may not be ready, and we may be disqualified from reigning and ruling with Christ during those 1,000 years. I believe in the Word of God, there's an Old Testament event in the life of David that is very prophetic of the hour in which we live and for what we've gathered this conference for. In First Chronicles 12:32, it says that the sons of Issachar had understanding of the time to know what Israel ought to do. They understood the hour in which they were in, and they knew what they ought to do. What did they understand? They understood that Saul's kingdom was about to end. They sensed that Saul was not the true man that God was after. And they also sensed that David was the king that was really after God's heart. And so what did they do? Because they understood that the time was about to change. It says that they came armed for war to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul over to the kingdom of David. They came armed, prepared, ready to turn this kingdom from Saul to David. Brothers and sisters, we live in an hour. The king is coming, and he's looking for a vanguard. Those will come to him, those that will be prepared and ready for war if necessary, to bring in the king, to turn the kingdom of this world over to Christ. That is the hour in which we live. Our desire is to be a part of that vanguard. We need to understand that this age of grace, this church age that we live in, is about to end. We're about to come into the kingdom age. The events preceding that will be the rapture and then Christ's return to set up his kingdom on this earth. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb in the Bible. That's 1,000 years. And it said, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he's speaking to saints there, brothers and sisters. A blessing to be able to reign and share in the rule with Christ. The SOS signal has gone out. Brothers and sisters, I pray that we will hear what the Spirit is saying. If in our busyness, for some reason, that signal has not yet reached our heart, maybe it's just got to our brain and we can all say, yeah, I believe the Lord's coming soon. But has it reached this heart that really makes a difference in your life? Well, brothers and sisters, we should be able to look at the events around us today and what's going on in this world, only to realize that the Lord is coming soon. Earthquakes have increased tremendously. Turmoil in this earth has increased tremendously. War and rumors of war have increased tremendously. All these things, the Lord said, look, these will happen before I return. But you know, when the disciples said to him, Lord, when will all of these things happen? He gave them the parable of the fig tree. They wanted to know what time, when was the time of his return. And the Lord said, when the fig tree puts forth fig leaves, you know that summer is near. When the fig tree puts forth leaves, you know that the summer is at hand. Likewise, know that is near even at the doors. We know, brothers and sisters, and the Bible scholars will tell us that the fig tree is representative of the nation of Israel. And we know how that the nation of Israel, and maybe young people don't realize this, but there was a day in which it seemed to be obliterated, that it almost disappeared from history. But a marvelous miracle happened in 1948. It was recognized as a nation. Can we say, is that a fulfillment of the fig tree putting forth its leaves? I think maybe it is, brothers and sisters. And that occurred in 1948, almost 60 years ago. In Luke 21, 20 through 28, the Lord said, Jerusalem will be trodden down under the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. And then you will see the Son of Man coming in power. Brothers and sisters, Jerusalem was really under the control of other nations and under the Gentile nations from the time of Nebuchadnezzar until 1967. That's 2,500 years. There was a short period under the Maccabees when it was back under the control of the nation of Israel. But in 1967, during the Six-Day War, Jerusalem itself came under the full control of the nation of Israel. The time, brothers and sisters, for the Gentiles is full. That was almost 40 years ago. In my lifetime, in my history, it happened. It's a signal, it's a sign to the nations and to the world. Israel is a sign for the world and the nations. And God's sign is, I'm coming soon. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus is not only at the door. His hand is upon the doorknob, and we see the doorknob turning. We have to really be aware of the hour we're in. The Lord Jesus Himself, during His first visitation, during His ministry on this earth, He was speaking to the crowds and to the Pharisees, and He says, you are hypocrites. You're able to discern the weather by looking at the sky, but you don't know or are able to discern the time in which you live. Brothers and sisters, are we not guilty of talking about the weather all the time? I am, particularly when it's hot like it's been this week. But have we discerned the time in which we live? The Lord was very serious. He says, you missed it. You didn't discern the time. And instead of lifting up our Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and King, they crucified Him on the cross, brothers and sisters, because they did not know the time. The Lord Jesus, His last time as He came into Jerusalem before He was to be crucified, it says He wept over the city. I believe the Lord Jesus would weep over us. He says, because you don't know the time of your visitation. And He's coming soon. He's coming soon. I believe, brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to use this conference to awaken us to the hour, to the time in which we live, that we might be a people that are ready for Him, that we might be like the sons of Issachar, men and women who knew and understood the time, men and women who knew what they ought to do. Lord, brothers and sisters, we need to be ready to transfer the kingdom of this world to our Lord Jesus Christ and to be a part of that. The SOS signal has gone out. The time is at hand. And what did our Lord Jesus do, brothers and sisters? He gave revelation, a tremendous revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what God gave to us, was a revelation of His Son. He gave it to the Apostle John, and He says, every bondservant needs this revelation. If you're going to endure, if you're going to be ready, if you're going to make it through, you have to have this revelation. And brothers and sisters, this week as we prepare our hearts, we need to ask the Lord that He would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Or we won't endure. We won't be able to make it to the end. We won't be able to finish the race and run this race that we've been asked to run. We will become tired and weary of the battle and exhausted in our circumstances and problems and the cares of this life, brothers and sisters. And the time will come upon us unawares. About 2,500 years ago, there was a battle in Greece, at Marathon, Greece. The Persian army was invading Greece and was going to conquer it. In fact, it was obvious to everyone that the Persians had them far outnumbered. In fact, they outnumbered the Greeks 4-1, and that they were going to come in and take over Greece. There seemed to be no question about it. But the Greeks initiated a surprise attack. And at the end of the battle, 6,000 Persians were dead and less than 200 Greeks. An amazing battle, an amazing victory took place and Greece was spared and the Persians left. And today they celebrate this victory with a marathon. Because what happened at the end of the battle was the leader of that battle, the commander, picked out a soldier called Pheidippides. I'm sorry, Dana will correct me later. He understands. Pheidippides. There you go. I got it. Pheidippides. He's a soldier. He had been in the battle all day. And he was chosen to run back to Athens, which was 26.3 miles away. And he said, run back and tell them that we have won the victory, to encourage them, because everyone was thinking that soon they would be slaughtered by the Persians. Pheidippides had fought all day long, but he pressed himself into the charge that he had, into the orders that had been given to him. He was exhausted, but he pushed beyond his exhaustion, brothers and sisters, and he endured. It says from history that those that saw him that day said he ran like the wind, that he never slowed down, that he never wavered until he reached Athens. And when he reached Athens, he cried out, "We have won the victory." His heart exploded and he died. He gave the message, though. He endured tremendously against all that his body was saying to him that day. Brothers and sisters, many of us have been to all 31 of these conferences. Many of you here have been enduring. You've been running this race for many years. Many are tired from the battle. Many may be exhausted. Some may have even quit the race. But where did Pheidippides get such energy? Where did he get such drive? Where did he get such endurance? He got it because he experienced the victory. He lived the victory. He had firsthand experience of that victory. It wasn't secondhand knowledge. Brothers and sisters, that's what revelation is. It's firsthand. It's not something that I tell you. It's not something the Apostle John tells you that he saw. It's firsthand experience and revelation of the Lord Jesus himself. That is what gives us the endurance. That gives us what we need to carry on. It gives us purpose. It gives us energy. It gives us endurance. No matter that our heart may give out at the end, we need to finish the race. But brothers and sisters, we found out through the years that revelation itself is not enough. The cross is needed. Our Lord gave us a tremendous example. I remember when our apostle, and I'll finish in a few minutes, when our apostle Peter, the Lord asked him, "Who do men say that I am?" And they gave a few answers, and he said, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Lord, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Revelation. And the Lord said, "Look, upon this I will build my church." More revelation. And then what did he do? He started speaking to them of the cross. Brothers and sisters, what this tells us is there's no way to the throne except through the cross. If we are to reign and rule with Christ, with him on the throne, brothers and sisters, we will also have to go to the cross. We'll have to take up our cross and follow him. Also, it's not good enough just to have revelation. It's not good enough just to have some experience of the cross. But we have to be responsible with what the Lord has given us, the gifts that he's given us, the grace that he's given us, the vision that he's given us, the heart that he's given us. We have to be responsible, brothers and sisters, for the judgment seat of Christ will be soon. And that will determine our place in the kingdom, or even if we're qualified for the kingdom age. I remember as a young boy, I was in the seventh grade. I went out for basketball. I never tried to go out for a sport before. I don't really know why I thought I could do any good at basketball. I was pretty short and pretty light at the time. But I did. And I remember we were practicing and the coach put me with this guy and he was a giant. He was a big, tall guy. And I thought to myself, man, I'll never be able to guard this guy. And he set up a play for us and I was supposed to be the defender. And we were running down the court, and this guy got the ball right to the hoop. The coach stopped everybody, and he looked around. He said, "Who's supposed to be guarding this man?" I didn't say anything because I was thinking, look, this is ridiculous. You know, I shouldn't have been guarding this guy in the first place. I mean, you've given me an impossible assignment here. I never said that to him. I wasn't quite that bold. Said, "Who was to guard this guy? I assigned someone to guard him. Who guarded him?" Finally, I stepped forward and I said, "It was me, coach." He said, "Well, where were you? You're way over here. This guy's over here at the basket." I said, "Well, I just really didn't think I could guard him that well." He said, "Look, I gave you this assignment. You should have guarded this guy." Well, you know, he was right. Regardless of the size of this guy, I should have done what I was told. But in my heart, I'd already given up. I'd given up. And to my shame, brothers and sisters, I dropped out from basketball. I'll never do anything at basketball. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has given us a tremendous responsibility. And He is going to hold us accountable. And I think sometimes our response would be, "Well, Lord, You put me into this ridiculous and impossible circumstance I'm in. Lord, how can You really expect me to be responsible? How can You hold me accountable with the things that I have to deal with what's going on in my life, either physically or emotionally?" Brothers and sisters, it can be anything. And you just say, how could the Lord expect me to respond and be responsible? Well, I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, the Lord's given out His assignments. And with the Lord, grace is always sufficient. We will have no excuse. We are accountable and responsible. And brothers and sisters, this is something that we cannot afford to drop out of. We are responsible. He says, "To whom much is given, much is expected." But praise the Lord, at the judgment seat of Christ, just before He comes to set up His kingdom, He will evaluate His bondservants. And to some He'll say, "Enter into the joy of the Lord, good and faithful servant." Brothers and sisters, we all here tonight want to be among those that the Lord can say, "Enter into My joy, good and faithful servant." And the joy is to reign and rule with our Lord during those 1,000 years. Let me end with this because I want to encourage us all. Many of us have come to this conference. Many are tired, not just from the trip, but from life. Exhausted from a weary battle that you've been going through in your personal experiences. Others have been wounded. Others are discouraged in this race. Some have wavered. Some have stopped altogether. Some have been disabled through sin and failures. Finishing the course doesn't seem feasible. Lord, I love you, and I really do, Lord, but my hopes for the kingdom are almost none. Lord, I hope you'll take care of me. But Lord, I just can't seem to make it. In 1976, there was a Special Olympics. I think we're all aware of the Special Olympics. Those are Olympics that are held for these young kids and people that they have each year. And it's the ones that participate are disabled. They're either physically or mentally disabled. But this is their opportunity to be a part of athletics and to run. And there was a race. It was a 100-yard dash. And there was 9 contestants in this race, and they were all physically or mentally handicapped in some way. And they all were there at the starting line, all excited about the race, all wanting to participate, all wanting to run the race well, all wanting to finish the race, all hopefully wanting to win. And so the gun sounded, and all 9 of them started out. But about halfway through the race, one of the children fell. He was very discouraged. His hopes of winning, of course, were gone, and even completing the race seemed impossible. But a couple of those that were running with him stopped. And they turned around. They came and picked him up. And those 3 guys crossed the finish line together. I think that's part of what this conference is about, brothers and sisters. I am hopeful that this week, as we worship together, as we pray together, as we fellowship together, as we serve together, that we will pick one another up and we can finish the race together. May we pray. Lord, tonight you told me that you wanted to send an SOS signal. You made it very clear. Lord, this signal's been going out for many years now, and we want to respond. Lord, we want to be those that realize the hour in which we live. We have an understanding of this hour, and we know what to do. Lord, may we hear you. May we respond to you. Lord, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, give us the grace that we may take up the cross and follow you. Lord, give us the grace that we might finish this race we're in. Finish the course that you set for us. Lord, we want to be a part of that vanguard that brings in the King, that turns the kingdom of this world over the kingdom of our Christ and Lord. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, quicken us to this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.